listening to Sermons at St. Mary's, homilies of Father Don Nectarius Hawk, recorded live at St. Mary's Antiochian Orthodox Christian Church in Omaha, Nebraska.
The reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Let us attend. At that time, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who had had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, and she praised God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrite, does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As Jesus said this, all his adversaries were put to shame. And all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him.
Glory to thee, O Lord, glory to thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Christ is in our midst. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue, beloved, our journey in this Nativity fast season. Our preparation of our hearts. This morning we prayed the prayer, the fourth Sunday of Advent prayer with the children. And one of the things that the prayer said was, or asked, I should say, beseeched our Lord to prepare our mansions for his dwelling place. And of course, we refer to that as the mansion of our heart. We also, in other prayers, refer to the manger of our hearts. Those are the things that we prepare. And of course, we just don't prepare our hearts. We prepare our lives, don't we? By our words, our thoughts, our actions, our prayers, our fastings, our drawing near to God. All of those things together, the church gives us to be able to prepare our hearts for the arrival of the Prince of Peace. He who came to bring peace, our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in one of the hymns, actually on the Feast of the Nativity, the Matins, it says this, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." Of course, you just heard that earlier at the beginning of the liturgy. And as we continued on with the liturgy in the Great Litany, how many times was the word peace mentioned? "In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above, which is that which our Lord has brought to us, and the salvation of our souls. For the peace of the whole world. The good estate of the holy churches of God, and the union of all men." We pray for these things, beloved, always, in all of our services. The hymn goes on to say, "Today Bethlehem receives him who reigns forever with the Father. Today angels glorify the newborn babe in hymns worthy of God. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Now we know as well that peace, that shalom of God, is not the kind of peace that the world brings. That's why we say, for the peace from above. Because we all know that worldly peace is but temporary, fleeting, here today, gone tomorrow, depending on the whims of the nations, right? The whims of those who are in power on this earth at this time or any other time. In fact, you know, the Lord never promised, beloved, never promised peace to the world in the sense that the nations would no longer fight with one another. And that individuals would no longer quarrel. We saw that in the gospel today, didn't we? Our Lord seeks to bring peace and freedom to the woman who is bound with the infirmity that she had. And what happens? Did peace settle into that situation? Was everybody glorifying God and saying, oh, now we're at peace with one another? No! The ruler of the synagogue, Luke says, was indignant. Indignant. The peace that our Lord brought to the woman in her healing aroused the animosity and the resentment of others. So much so that it came to a head and they sought to destroy Christ. Beloved, Christian saints throughout the ages bear witness that the peace of God has entered this world. Because they receive this peace and they live by it as the content of their lives. That's where that peace from above has its power. When we embrace it, when you and I, both personally, communally, as the church, embrace that peace of God, or I should say embrace that person, the Prince of Peace, in a deeper and deeper way, then that molds and shapes the content of our lives. Now we know as well that sometimes can bring hostility and strife. Because sometimes Christians who seek the peace of God are sources of scandal and causes of contention. Our Lord even says that, doesn't he, in the 17th or 15th chapter of John. He says, if the world hates you, you know that it's hated me before it hated you. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they hated me, they'll hate you. So we can expect, in our efforts to embrace the peace of God for ourselves, personally, internally, allowing it to express itself outwardly to one another and to the world, we can expect the world to look at us and say, uh-uh. We can expect the world to become indignant as we walk and experience that freedom of Christ and experience His healing in our own lives. We can expect the world to persecute us. And our Lord says it because they do not know Him who sent me. St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians this morning, we heard this. We heard again an exhortation to mature into the love of Christ, to embrace the peace of Christ. Embrace that peace that's already here, to maintain it, is what he says. And again he says, I beg you, to the Ephesian believers, to lead a life worthy of your calling. Now what are we called to do? And who are we called to be, beloved? Well, by virtue of our baptism, we're called to be saints, right? We're called to be saints. We're called to embrace and live in the holiness of God and allow that holiness to radiate from us. No matter where we are, no matter whether we're in the workplace or at home, out on the street, in our cars, even in church, in the ministries that we involve ourselves in the church. St. Paul says, lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called with all humility. We heard the word lowliness this morning. Same thing, humility and meekness. With patience, forbearing one another in love. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Beloved, that's one of the foundations of this season that we have entered into. We long for God's peace. We long for it in the depths of our souls. Well, St. Paul says, okay, do you desire to experience that peace of God from above that you pray for? All right? Then determine, dedicate yourselves. And he's speaking to us as much as he's speaking to the Ephesians here. Because the Holy Spirit always takes the words of Holy Scripture. And the Lord comes to us and says, what about you, Father Don? This is written for you. We all need to see those words and hear those words as written to ourselves. So St. Paul says, walk in your calling and exhibit the virtues of humility and meekness and patience and bearing with one another. Because you see it, or we see it, I should say, in Christ, don't we? We see that humility in the Son of God who humbled himself for our sake, leaving the glory of heaven, coming to dwell among us, and setting his face like flint, the scripture says, to that desolation of the cross, so that you and I can be freed from our infirmity. We see that that humility is stronger than the pride of men. And it has to be stronger than the pride of men. It has to be stronger than our own pride. If God's going to do any work in our lives, beloved, it has to be done by our willingness to say yes to the Lord. Wherever we are and whatever we're doing. And that divine humility, not only in Christ, shines like the sun, illumining all the earth. It will do the same for us as well. When the world sees that, they will see the light of God. And of course, they have the choice at that point to accept it and embrace it or reject it, right? But that's not on us. That's on them. But it is on us, beloved, to walk worthy of our calling, as St. Paul says. He also uses the word meekness. Really, that's all about self-control. It's not about lying down and being a doormat that others walk all over you. That's not meekness. The world might think that's what it is, but it's not that. Meekness is about self-control, beloved. The meek person has power over his sinful passions and control over his strength. This is a characteristic of the Christian who walks worthy of his calling. In all the temptations and the provocations of life, and all the times where we're tempted to exert our own control, to want to be in control of everything, and to control others even, perhaps, or to assert our opinion or the way that we want things to be done, wherever that is, meekness calls upon us to retain control, to hold our tongues, to keep peace in our hearts. Next, the Apostle speaks of patience as a virtue that displays the power of God in our lives as we walk in our calling. And the main thought here is the refusal to retaliate. Even when we're insulted, even when people disagree with us, when there are setbacks or disasters, when we're caught up into things that we can't control, we don't lash out. We don't try to blame anyone, starting with blaming God or others. And that great example, of course, is given to us by our Lord Himself. Though our sins and our stupidities, our weaknesses are always before Him, they're always before Him. He sees them all. He sees them in our hearts even before we even do them or say them sometimes or even think them. What does He do? He still has patience with us. He doesn't punish us or rebuke us, but He awaits our repentance. He awaits our repentance. St. Peter tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, tells us to count the patience of our Lord as salvation. We definitely count that as God's mercy, don't we? We're called to live in that, beloved. We're called to practice that toward ourselves, toward others, in order to glorify God and to bring His presence to this earth. Because we know that's another purpose of this season. Not only to celebrate an event that happened 2,000 plus years ago, but to celebrate the reality of that today. That's what why I said earlier in the hymn. Today, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Today. Because the eternality of that event, the eternal dimension of that event, is always powerful and profound and significant and life-changing and transforming in our lives as we allow it. St. Paul also talks about bearing with one another, forbearing one another in love. What does that mean? Well, to bear with one another is to ignore the errors and the sins and the slights and the stupidities that we all engage in. To believe the best about one another. And when we see a brother or sister who has fallen, who stumbles, we forgive them. We may need to encourage them and to exhort them to walk worthy of their calling, and that's what we're all called to do, by the way, as a matter of fact. Not just the priest, but we're all called upon to encourage one another to become more like Christ. That's why we're together. That's why we're the body of Christ. His presence is in our midst. We are the manifestation of the continuation of His incarnation in the world. And so therefore, we are called upon to encourage one another, and perhaps sometimes even to exhort one another, to maintain that unity in the bond of peace, to walk worthy of our calling. Bearing with one another in love is to look past these surface imperfections and continue to serve one another with humility and meekness and patience. We're called to bear with one another, covering the other's imperfections with the love of Christ. He did that with His disciples, didn't He? Remember that story of the epileptic boy who the disciples couldn't cure? Our Lord did say, O faithless generation, how long am I to bear with you? He was not only talking about the disciples, but probably of the Father as well and those around Him. But still, He loved them to the end, as St. John says in his Gospel. And He loves us to the end. And especially as we walk worthy of our calling, He pours out His abundant grace upon us to continue in that reality and experience His healing. And finally, St. Paul says to keep or maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's very important for us to understand what that is, beloved. Because this unity is given by the Holy Spirit. It's given as the Lord's unbreakable and sovereign gift to His church. It's one of the characteristics of the body of Christ here on this earth. It is one, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. We say that in the Creed. That unity, that oneness, is bound up in the unity of the three persons of the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not something that we're called upon to produce ourselves. We're called upon to embrace it. It's already in our midst. We can reject it. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. when we don't have that, when we choose to reject that unity. But it's there. It's up to us to embrace it with all humility and meekness and patience. The fallen and unredeemed world is characterized by disunity, isn't it? By wars, by factions, by quarreling, by hatred, by mutual separation. But for us, beloved, salvation comes as the restoration of unity. The restoration of unity. And it's rooted in the essential being of who we are. We're not some kind of club or group that's decided to get along. I think I'll get along with you because I like you. I'm not sure about. No, that's not how we look at one another. That's not how we approach one another. We approach one another with the foregone conclusion of the reality of that unity of the Spirit. And we encourage one another to maintain it, to walk in it, and to allow God to continue to do that good work in us. The Kentuckian for Pentecost says, when the Most High came down and confused the tongues, we know about that story, right? Babel. He divided the nations. But when he distributed the tongues of fire, he called all to unity. That's the reality that we live in, beloved. The reality that we should live in. And it is this divine unity which is produced in our communities by the Holy Spirit, which we're called upon to be eager. That's what St. Paul says. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Not just, I guess I have to, because that's what I'm supposed to do. No. We eagerly look for ways to maintain that unity and the bond of peace. Peace of heart within and peace of relations between us binds us together in a mutual bond. And that is freedom, beloved. That is freedom. Let me end with one more quote of a hymn. Again, calling us all to peace. Today, again, there's that word today. Heaven and earth are united, for Christ is born. Today God has come to earth and man ascends to heaven. Wow. Glory to God. Today, God, who by nature cannot be seen, is seen in the flesh for our sake. Let us glorify Him, crying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Your coming has brought peace to us, peace and unity. Glory to you, our Savior. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is in our midst.
Thanks for listening. Find us online by searching St. Mary Orthodox Omaha or at facebook.com/stmaryomaha.